John chapter 6, if you found your place, would you stand with me, please? I'm going to begin reading verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Boy.
Amen.
I preached on that for 3 hours. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And if you need to be saved this morning and you come to Jesus, he will not cast you out. He will not cast you out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. You can't lose your salvation.
Amen.
You cannot lose your salvation. I mean, what kind of God do you serve? Because the God I serve don't lose things.
Amen.
Amen. And he gives me that salvation to begin with. I didn't get it. It's a gift of God. He's not going to lose it.
That's right.
My soul, you and I lose things. He doesn't lose anything.
Amen.
Amen. But should raise it up again at the last day. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help this morning. I just want to be a blessing again, Lord. I want to follow your lead in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit. I pray would be completely surrendered unto thee. Lord, would you please open up the ears of your people, the hearts of this church, God, to hear and understand, Lord, what you want for them. I pray that you'd bind Satan. Oh, God, please. We plead the shed blood of Jesus. We know that you've chosen, God, the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So we know also, God, that there's a great opposition, great adversary at this particular time now, bowing up, Father, in pride and arrogance to fight against the preached word of your precious Bible. I pray, Lord God, now please, you'd fill my heart with power, with unction, with authority, with your Holy Spirit. Each one of our lives would be touched in a different, special way today. And God, if there's one sitting here who needs to come to Jesus for salvation, God in heaven, please, bear down on their hearts. Bear down on their souls this morning. Don't let them turn away. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Let's read on in verse 41. Jesus just told them that he's the bread of life, that they can have eternal bread, eternal water, never hunger, never thirst again. And verse 41 says that they murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And the Bible in verse 42, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? See, they got it all wrong right there. Their doctrine's all messed up right there. Because Joseph is not his father.
That's right.
Joseph, and they said his father and his mother. And so they've got their... See, right off the bat, we know these people, listen, don't know Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't know who Jesus is. And how many people do you think celebrate Christmas thinking that Joseph is Jesus' father? You see what I'm saying? Our world does not know who Jesus is. And because of that, they murmur at him when he begins to tell them, you can have everlasting life. You can have a salvation that you can never lose. And they murmur.
Yeah.
They start to grumble. And they say, well, this is the son of Joseph, and he came down from heaven. Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. There's a good title for a message, right?
Yeah.
Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. In other words, it's a spiritual thing, that this salvation is not something that you do on your own. It's not by the will of man. Amen. We just read that in John chapter 1. But God has to draw people to Jesus. And when God draws people to Jesus, he will in no wise cast them out. The Bible says, I will. Then Jesus goes on to say in verse 44, I will raise him up at that last day. And it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me.
That's right.
You know, faith cometh by hearing. and hearing by the word of God. Oh, there's so much meat in here. Not that any man hath seen the Father, in verse 46, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. He's speaking of himself, amen. He said, no man has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, listen, this is tremendous stuff here, he that believeth on me, not worketh his way, not baptizes himself, but believeth on me, hath everlasting life. What a statement. There is no man in this world, whether it be Joseph Smith or Muhammad Ali, that can say that but Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Come on, sir. And he's my Savior.
Amen.
He's my Savior. Amen. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Amen. Your fathers, listen now listen. Jesus is trying to teach them some things here, but boy, he's meddling, isn't he?
Yeah.
He says, look, your fathers. Now, wait a minute. Jesus, you going to start talking about my fathers? Can you just see him, man? You're going to start talking about my family? Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead.
Yeah.
And this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die.
Amen.
I am that living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Boy, this is tremendous stuff. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, and that which I will give for the life of the world.
Amen.
Now, when Jesus laid down his life on that cross, listen to me, no man took it from him. He gave it.
Yes,
he gave his flesh. He gave his life for the life of the world. Don't tell me that there's one person that God's going to send to hell on purpose. Don't tell me that it's only a select few that can be saved. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I gave my life for the life of the world. There's not one soul in that world that Jesus did not die for.
That's right. Amen, brother.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
The Jews therefore strove among themselves. By the way, don't count yourself short. Don't sell yourself short. If Jesus died for you and you've accepted him, you're saved, and you should live in victory.
Amen.
Can I say this? You can live in victory.
Yes.
You can live above the flood this
Amen,
year.
Brother.
Amen. You can walk in righteousness. But listen, you have the power in you. I can do all things through Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Which strengtheneth me. Not because I'm stronger than you or anybody else, but because Christ is all my strength. Christ is my all in all. He in all things can have the preeminence and should have the preeminence. And I can live like, listen, I'm just a nobody who's been saved by somebody who will and can save anybody. But you know, my name, listen, when the book of life is opened up in heaven, look, hey, my name's in there. My name's in there. My name is known in heaven. Whoa, that's a blessed thought, isn't it? My name is known in heaven. And yours is too if you're saved. Wow, that's a thank you. That's a wonderful thought. My name is known in heaven. Now, don't live like you're defeated down here. You have more to live for than what you can see out here. You have more to live for than what the world is living for. You have something, somebody, I should say, in you. He that hath the Son of God hath life. Life, not just living, but life, and more abundantly if you'll choose to walk in that power that God gives us. I was speaking to a lady yesterday. Her name was Julie. And listen, I don't mean to pick on Catholics, but boy, they've got a lot of people deceived.
Yes, they do.
And she thought that her good works and her going to church and her confessing her sin to her priest was salvation. And I took her over to 1 John chapter 5 verse 11, which says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's confessing my sins to God, confessing my sins to a man, confessing my sins to my dog in the backyard will never save anybody.
Right.
Yeah. I've got to have the Son of God.
Amen. That's right, brother. That's absolutely right.
I've got to have the Son of God.
Sure.
Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, in verse 53. Well, let's read verse 52 first. Of course, he's telling them, I'm going to give my life for you. But right there, my heart just wants to say, thank you, Lord.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen, brother.
The Jews, therefore, in verse 52, you could write a line through there and put Baptist on top of that. I'm just kidding. Don't change the Bible. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves. Instead of rejoicing, instead of hearts weeping with joy and glorious salvation, they're fighting among themselves. I mean, they're striving among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They completely missed the whole point of this. Yeah. Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now listen. I'm going to be real careful here to say to you that that does not mean literally drinking his flesh, blood, and eating his flesh.
Right.
Obviously, how can I ever do that? He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God.
Yes.
He's not talking about literally. He's talking about figuratively. He's talking about taking him as your Savior. And when you take, listen, when you get saved, you get all of it.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
When you get saved, you get all of the Holy Spirit. Yes. When you get saved, you get all of Christ. That you don't need a second blessing. You don't need to pray through every time. You get saved, you get all of Christ. All of Him. And that's all he's saying there. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, in verse 54, hath eternal life.
Amen.
Wow. Whoso. And I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There's coming a resurrection. Amen. This is good stuff. I'm just going to go through this and have fun. Amen. There's coming a day when my old body is going to fall over. Like I told the teenagers yesterday, when I fall over, I'm going to fall to the right, not to the left. Because I'm leaning right. I'm not leaning left.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, maybe some of you didn't get that, but or maybe I just made some of you mad at me. But anyway, I'm not rioting, by the way. I'm just leaning to the right. Amen. When my body falls over dead, bury it. Yes, my wife and my children and some of you might be sad, but don't be too sad for me. Listen, I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be forever present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord forever. And then one day, at that glorious rapture, that Jesus Christ comes down to the clouds, the dead in Christ will rise first. Amen. And I'll be reunited with my new body, my glorified body. And that's what Jesus is talking about. I will raise him up. Amen. At that last day.
Amen, brother. Come on.
What a blessing.
Yes.
It doesn't matter where you die. It doesn't matter how you die. If you're in Christ, amen, that old body will be put back together again. I'm not going to go into cremation at all. This, even God can put that back together. Amen.
Amen.
My flesh is meat indeed. Verse 55, my blood is drink indeed.
Yes.
He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me. Boy, this is good. And I in him, listen to me. You know, I like to say it this way. I can't lose my salvation any more than Jesus can lose his salvation.
That's right.
Amen.
Jesus didn't need to be saved. You got it. Jesus is salvation, and you got it. So I'm in Christ.
Amen.
So the only way I can go to hell if is Jesus goes to hell.
That's right.
Are y'all okay? I mean, you ought to be rejoicing. Don't look at me like cross-eyed. I'm in Christ.
Yes,
if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What's that? Including my destination. Amen. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. Amen. I'm not waiting for anybody else. I'm ready to go.
Amen.
I'm ready.
I'm ready to go.
Amen.
Talk about getting old. I think I am getting old. Days like yesterday make you feel about 10 years older. But anyway, I'm having a good time. God's good. I'm telling you what, this is good stuff. Amen. He said bread and blood, but I'm talking about meat. Amen. And this is meat for you and me. Amen. Look in verse 27 of this same chapter. Before he gets into this bread of life discourse, look in verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Whew. There's some people who will work themselves to death for the meat that perisheth, the carnal, temporal meat, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Yes. What is that talking? He's saying, listen, before he even gets into the bread of life, he says, you're working for meat that's just going to eat and perish. You're just going to eat it, and it's going to be cast out in the draught, amen? Right. It's going to perish. What you need to do is you need to live and labor and love and work for that meat which endureth for unto everlasting life. And then he goes on and talking about himself, the bread of life, amen? Never hunger, never thirst. I will raise him up, have everlasting life, have eternal life. My flesh is that meat, in verse 55. My flesh, he gets to it, amen? From 27 to 55, he's just a long-winded preacher, and I thank God for it.
Amen.
I can relate.
Amen.
Thank you. I love you too, brother. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Like the Apostle Paul was a long-winded preacher. You know, when Eutychus fell out of the window, it's because Paul was preaching a long time. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible said. Then he went out there and revived them, put them back in church, and preached until daybreak.
Amen.
Glory to God. Watch night service. Amen. I'm having a good time. Amen. Thank God for his Holy Spirit. Verse 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. Stop right there. So do you.
Amen.
Are you saved this morning? Raise your right hand. Amen. Amen. Raise your left hand. All right. Shout amen.
Amen.
You live by the Father.
Amen.
You live by the Father. The only reason you live is because of the Father. And as soon as the Father's done with you, you won't live anymore. But hey, don't worry about it. You're going to be in His presence then.
Amen.
Glorious, heaven bound. Amen. On those streets of gold. But He said, I live by the Father. And so do we. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. We live in Christ by the Father, held by his hand, never to perish, never to die, never to suffer condemnation. We are free. We are born again. We are saved. We are redeemed. We are reconciled. We are justified. And nobody can do that except for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is that bread.
Yeah,
this is that bread. He's going on about this bread, isn't he?
Amen.
And you just wait to see what happens here if you don't know yet. But, I mean, he is going on and on about this bread. It's almost like he's rubbing it in a little bit. Because remember what started all this? Murmuring. So Jesus, so you want to murmur? Let me just give you something to murmur about.
Amen, brother. Come on.
I love Jesus. I don't know about you.
Amen.
But I love this book, and I love the power that Jesus has through this book. And this is that bread in verse 58, which came down from heaven. Again, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. Well, he just said that, didn't he? Jesus is a master teacher, but he's preaching right now. Amen. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I've heard a lot of forevers in here. I've heard a lot of eternals in here. I've heard a lot of everlasting life in here. I've heard a lot of Jesus promises in here that I'm just about, you know, I'm not ready to go fight hell with a squirt gun.
Amen.
I'm not afraid what man can do to me. I'm not afraid what man thinks of me. I mean, I don't want anybody to think. I don't want my life to turn people away from Jesus. We are the light of the world, and our light should shine so forth that men can see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. But I promise you, listen to me, that Jesus is the one that makes that light, and Jesus is the reason that we have that light, and Jesus is the source of that light. And through that light, and through that salt that we are, the salt of the earth, listen to me, God can use us, and through this power that He gives us through Christ, I don't have to be afraid of what man can say to me or do to me or what this whole world is coming to. I don't have to be afraid of who's in the White House or who's not in the White House. I don't have to be afraid of who reads their prayers up there on the platform and the lady pastors up there on the platform. My soul, I don't have to be afraid of where our country's going. It ain't going the direction that Jesus is going, but I'm not afraid because I'm in Christ, amen? And I have Christ in my heart and I have everlasting life, so I'm just going to keep on following Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on Friday morning that was weird. But all I sit there. I didn't watch it live, but I sat there and I watched it, the recording later on the internet. And I turned to Samuel. I said, Samuel, I just wish I could have that microphone for 10 minutes.
Amen, brother. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, Dad, you'd be too nervous to say anything. I said, oh, boy, you crazy. But I'd quote Scripture until I was blue in the face.
Amen,
and then I'd quote Scripture. And I would even butcher Scripture, but I'd make sure that I said something about Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Brother, yeah.
Give me that microphone for 10 minutes. Give me that microphone for 10 seconds.
Yes.
He said, Dad, you'd be too nervous to do anything else. You'd fall over. Man, what a lot of faith he has in his dad, huh? But anyway, I'm not worried about that. I'm not going to go riot about that. See, those people don't have any hope.
That's right.
Their hope is in the White House. Their hope is in the government. I mean, listen to me. That's not our hope.
That's right. Amen.
That's not our purpose. That's not our peace.
Yeah.
Listen, that's how a communist country runs.
Yeah.
By the government controlling the people and controlling their wages and controlling everything about them and giving them what they want so they can keep keep them under their control.
Yep.
Listen, folks, that's not what we want. That our country was founded not even a democracy, but a republic.
Right.
And to the republic for which it stands, amen, one nation under God, individual, amen, individual with liberty and justice for all. It's not a democracy. It's a republic. It's given to us by God because of the standards of this book that I'm reading to you. And they can murmur and they can cry and they can complain like some of you do. But the fact is, Jesus Christ is still everlasting life. And in Him, no matter what happens in this country, I'm going to heaven when it's my time. And I'm going to keep preaching Jesus.
Amen.
And I can have peace. There wasn't a whole lot of peace going on. Still not in our country. I mean, Brother Worcester mentioned the war of the nations, the Civil War, where brother was killing brother. Man, it's happening again.
That's right, brother.
Yeah.
It's happening again.
Yep.
And if we're not careful, it's going to go nationwide. I mean, it is. If you really in pockets here and there, but if we're not careful, it's going to happen again. I mean, we've got this group hating this group,
yeah,
and killing
uh-huh.
this group.
Uh-huh.
What's the difference? That is civil war, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we got this crowd saying, "Well, this," and then of course we got the this crowd saying, "Well, this," and then they're shooting each other at school and at work. They're rioting right here in Denton, Texas. Rioting like crazy, crazy people. They have no peace. They have never eaten. They've never tasted of this bread.
That's right.
They've never drank of this water. This blood. The blood of Christ that cleanses from all. How much sin? All sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanses me from all sin. My hope is not in the White House. Grow to the point, dear child of God, where you quit depending on the government. Grow to the place where you can trust God no matter what the government does. That'd be a good thing.
Yeah.
That would be a good place to be.
Yeah.
It's not about what the government does. It's about my Savior. He's still Jesus. He's still alive. And there's still coming a glorious resurrection day. Amen.
Sure.
I'm going to be resurrected with Him. I love it. These things said He in the synagogue. In verse 59. As He taught in Capernaum. Now, it should be that many therefore came to His feet and said, "Thank you, Jesus."
Right.
It should be.
Should have been. Yeah.
And it does say many, therefore, verse 60, of His disciples, when they had heard this. Now look, they didn't see anything. They heard it.
Yes.
You just heard it.
Amen.
I said, you just heard it.
Yeah. That's right.
You just heard everything He said.
Yeah.
You heard everything they said. Everything they heard.
Right.
It doesn't matter what we see. It needs to. What we hear is what makes the difference.
Yeah,
let me stop right here and say this. What have you heard this week? Now don't answer me, please. I don't really want to know some of you. What have you heard this week? What have you put your ear to? What have you inclined your ear unto this week?
Come on.
Have you turned on the hellish music of this old world? filled with rape and murder and adultery and fornication and drug addiction and alcoholism. Is that what you've heard? Sure is quiet.
Amen.
Sure is quiet.
Come on.
What have you heard this week? You know, if you were here on Wednesday night, you heard some preaching.
Amen.
If you read your Bible this week, you heard God.
Amen.
Amen.
See, there's a big difference in what we're hearing.
Yeah.
Big difference in this, and that hearing affects us.
Yes, it does.
And how we receive that definitely affects us. How we hear it, and with our attitude, listen, don't miss this, our attitude when we hear it.
Yeah.
Many heard, and there's in verse 60, many heard it. There's a lot of people there. I'm not going to back up for sake of time, but at the beginning of this chapter, Jesus fed 5,000 men plus their women and children. Okay? And then these people came across the ocean the next day, across the Sea of Galilee the next day, looking for Jesus. And he says, "You seek me not because you see the miracles, but because you eat of the loaves and were filled." He says, "You're coming to me for carnal reasons. You're coming to me for fleshly reasons. You need to understand that I am what you're looking for, not the bread, not the fish, but me." Are y'all listening to me? And then he goes through this whole long discourse of the bread of life and the eating and drinking of his blood and understanding that he is everlasting life and that he is salvation and that in him I have all of those wonderful blessings. And he's going through all that to try to teach them the difference between living a carnal life and a spiritual life where Christ is all I need.
Yeah. Amen.
Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. I mean, listen, he's all I need.
Amen, brother.
And you know what? Listen, I'm in Christ and he's in me. So you can take away my house. You can take away my car. You can take away my body. You can take away my joy. I mean, not my joy. You can take away my money. You can take away my job. You can take away my children. You can take away my family. But you can't take him away.
Amen.
Hallelujah! I might as well get excited. Somebody else should be.
Yeah,
you can't take him away. So in him, he is all in all.
Amen.
Christ. There's going to be people coming along like this, though, and they're going to start talking in your other ear. Let's read on here, verse 60. When they heard this, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Because listen now, because they came to him with a preconceived idea. Listen, don't miss this. They came to him with a preconceived idea, what they already thought was truth, and he just blew them out of the water.
Yeah.
I mean, he went on and on. I think you got the point. He went on and on and on and on and on about who the real bread is, what the real salvation's all about, and they said, I don't like this.
Yeah.
This is hard to swallow. This bread's getting stuck in my throat. That's what they're saying. You know why? Because he's telling them they're wrong and he's right.
Yeah.
You're wrong and he's right.
That's right.
You're wrong and that's what Jesus is saying. You're wrong and I'm right. Your bread perisheth, my bread's everlasting. Your water goes away, my water's everlasting. Your blood will perish in hell with the condemnation of sin. My blood will cleanse you from all iniquity.
Amen.
Right. And he's telling them that they should be getting excited. They should be ready to jump up and down with rejoicing and joy. But they're not. They're not. They're saying, I don't think I can hear this. Excuse me. This is hard to swallow. Verse 61, I want you to notice something. Jesus knew. I'm telling you, Jesus knew that his disciples murmured at it. Now, to stop right there for a minute. Disciples are more than just casual observers. Okay? Disciple is someone, let's call him a student. Okay? A disciple comes from the word disciplined. Discipline, where they have, whether disciplinedly, faithfully, always a student studying and being with Christ a lot, all the time, always around him. There was always going to be casual observers. But the disciples began to murmur. Not the 12, Not the 12. That's another level. Amen. That's where we need to get. Amen. But anyway, then there's another level within the apostles, Peter, James, and John. But Jesus he shows us all that in the Bible. But he knows, and he says unto them in verse 61, "Doth this offend you?" Now wait a minute. The word offend there doesn't mean what you might think it means. It means, is this causing you to trip up? Is this tripping you up? Is this causing you to maybe desire to no longer follow me? Not does this hurt your feelings. It wasn't about hurting their feelings. He's saying, is this causing you to no longer want to follow me? He simply asked them. I don't believe he did it with any type of gruff spirit or voice. I think he just simply understood that they were murmuring, and he said, "Now, does this offend you?" Just like that. Does this offend you? He says in verse 62, "What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. If this offends you, wait till you see me rising on my own. Yeah. If this offends you, wait till you see me going back to heaven where I came from." I want you to notice in verse 63, this is why they're offended. And this is really the crux of the message, and we'll be done. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. Yeah. The word quicken means makes alive.
Yeah.
Make alive. "You hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins." When I got saved, it was the Spirit of God that was quickened.
Yeah.
Quickened my spirit. Yeah. My spirit was dead. Your body is nothing more than the vessel. Okay, you also are a trichotomy, a trinity. You have a body, soul, and spirit.
That's right.
Okay, you're born with a body. Your soul is who you really are, but your spirit is dead in sin when you're born.
That's right.
Okay, and then when the Spirit of God comes along and breathes life into you, your spirit is what is awakened. Your spirit is quickened. Your soul is still who you are, but now your spirit has eternal life. Your soul has eternal life. Your body is just going to pass away one day, dust to dust.
Yeah.
Ashes to ashes, by the way, is not in the Bible.
That's right.
I said it's not in the Bible. That's all. You put that where you want to put it. But it's not in the Bible. It's dust to dust. 63 says, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." Notice, the flesh profiteth nothing. The Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit, but notice what he says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life."
Amen.
And he said that to them for this one reason, to help them understand that their fleshly, carnal attitude was never going to profit them anything in this life or ever, for that matter.
That's right.
I mean, I'm excited to be saved just from reading through this and talking about. I'm excited to be saved because I'm in Christ on May 13th, 2004 at 3551 Cindy Drive. I was born again.
Amen.
I was put in Christ. Christ was put in me. I was sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. And then one day he's going to come down and he's going to redeem his purchased possession. That's me. Amen. I'm saved. I have partaken of that bread of life. I have drank of that water, everlasting, lovely water, precious, precious living water. It's mine. I now live in Christ. He lives in me. He dwells in me. He abides in me. And I'm thankful for that. But only because of the Spirit of God giving me that understanding.
Amen.
Your flesh profits you nothing. The food you eat today for lunch, which is what some of you, it's all you're thinking about right now, it's going to fill your belly for a few hours, maybe, unless it's Chinese, and then 30 minutes. It's not going to profit you.
No.
It may grow you some in the wrong direction. But it's not going to profit you.
Right.
What you need to understand is it's the Spirit that giveth life. The Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. And the words that he just spoke to you, there's what's going to profit you.
That's right.
Now you say, "Preacher, I'm already saved." I know that. But you know what? After you get saved, you can still wallow in the despair, discouragement, sorrow, sadness, anxiety of this world. And I want you to please understand what I'm trying to say. What Jesus is saying is not just to get saved, but to quicken and revive your spirit.
Yes. Absolutely.
I tell you what, I feel like maybe I've had a little bit of revival. I feel better right now than I did a minute ago. My spirit is a little bit elevated more so than it was when I began to preach.
Amen.
Why? Because I've read through the words of Christ.
Yes.
The words of Christ, they are spirit. They are life. They are infused with nothing but life.
Amen.
Inspired, eternally preserved for you and for me, infallible, impeccable, infinite, everlasting, and they are life. And I thank God for them. Listen, I want to ask you something. Turn over to the next page. There are some of you that believe not. Or the next verse, not the next page for you maybe. Verse 64, there are some of you that believe not.
Yeah.
They heard the same words, same power, same life.
Yeah.
For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. Notice, because they did not believe, they will betray him. It hurts to be betrayed. You know why you're going to betray Jesus? Because your flesh is more important to you than the Spirit of God.
That's right. Amen.
Because your flesh is going to be what you live for, no matter what Jesus says, just like these people. No matter what he says, he has promised you everything but the Son.
Amen.
And even that, the Son of Righteousness, S-O-N, it can be yours through faith in Christ.
Amen. That's right, brother.
But some of you don't believe it.
Yep.
And you're going to betray him. Well, maybe not today. Maybe not when I'll be back next Sunday, preacher. Maybe not today. But you continue to walk in the flesh. You continue to live for the carnal, earthly things, pleasures of this life. You'll betray Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. You'll betray Jesus. I will too. You say, preacher, no way. I would never do that. That's your flesh talking.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you're listening to the Holy Spirit's saying, you better listen.
Amen. That's right.
How am I going to know? How am I going to get quickened when I need to get quickened? How am I going to walk in the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit? So I don't want to betray Jesus, preacher. I don't want to betray him. He is the bread of life. He's the one that gave me life. He is all in all. He's everything. Well, listen, then you better get back in his words.
Amen.
And let me put it this way, get his words in you.
Yes, absolutely.
He that abideth in me, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatsoever you shall ask, my Father shall be done unto you. He said in verse 65, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now, he said that a long time ago, but he's given his conclusion now. It's a perfect sermon. A beautiful sermon. He told him what he was going to say. Then he told him what he said. And then he told him what he said. After he got done, he concluded it. That's all the sermon is. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. I'm going to tell you. Then I'm going to tell you what I said.
Right. Amen.
But Jesus is the master.
Amen.
We didn't get that from Bible college. We got that from Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
No man can come unto me, I told you that, except that we're given unto him by my Father. How does the Father work in men's heart? Through the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's right, brother.
It's the Holy Spirit that draws men to Jesus.
Amen.
But you quench that spirit, you grieve that spirit,
yes,
by living and walking in the flesh.
Right.
By living for the flesh,
right,
by doing what the flesh wants to,
yes,
do, by giving in to the flesh,
yes,
by betraying Jesus every time you,
yes,
do. From that time, verse 66, here's the 666 of the Bible. From that time, many of his disciples went back and noticed they walked no more with him. That's the 666 of the Bible. The mark of the beast, the number of man, the number of flesh. 6. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? They were all listening, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what. I'm convicted just listening to him say that. Can you imagine seeing his eyes?
Yeah.
He turns, now he's over here, you know, preaching to this crowd, but his 12 are over here, I imagine. And then he turns to them. It's like he's turning from the Bible. It's not about them anymore. Now it's about you.
Yeah.
Will you also go away? And you know what that means is that you have just as much flesh as they do.
Yeah, that's right.
You're just as able to betray me as they are.
Mm-hmm.
The world betrays Jesus. I mean, good night. I don't even want to think about it. But what about his own children? After all he's done for us, giving his life for our lives, for our sins. But notice, verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, notice his next two words, to whom? Whom? Not where, but whom? To whom have you turned? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words. It goes back to the words, doesn't it?
Amen.
Please listen this morning. I'm done. It goes back to the words. But notice, there's a whom that's speaking the wrong words that many people have turned to.
Yeah.
Amen.
To whom? Peter said, to whom shall we go? Even he knew that. Even Peter knew that. And Peter wasn't the brightest bulb in the box. Peter was an expert at sticking his foot in his mouth.
Yeah.
Y'all quit thinking what you think I'm thinking. Anyway. I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm talking about Peter.
Amen.
Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? I promise you, when you betray Jesus, you're going to go to somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I said when, but I don't mean to say when, but I've been in this thing long enough.
Yeah.
Some of you are going to betray Jesus. I pray to God that it won't be anybody in this room, but there's enough people in here to understand that some of you are going to betray Jesus.
Amen.
And it's not going to be because any other reason than you went to somebody else who was speaking different words.
Yep.
Amen.
Somebody else who you began to hear. Their words profit nothing. Can I tell you that?
That's right. Absolutely.
Their words are death.
Yeah.
Death. This is life.
That's right. Amen.
This is life.
Amen.
To whom will you go? Nobody, preacher. I promise. Don't promise me. Because, can I tell you, many people have promised me.
Yeah.
You need to understand these are the words, and the source of the words are very important. Jesus Christ, the words of life.
Yes.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. I'm telling you what, these are the wonderful words that you won't find them anywhere else.
Amen.
Quit looking. Quit delving.
Yes.
Quit experimenting.
It's good. Mm-hmm.
Quit tasting.
Yeah.
Of the words of death.
Amen.
There's nothing going to come from that but death.
Yeah.
These are the words of life. Even Peter knew, to whom shall we go? Can I tell you something? I told you this before. There's a whom out there waiting for you.
Amen.
There might be a whom in here waiting for you. You better watch out. Just because you're in church don't mean everybody in here is on fire for God.
Amen.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep preaching like Jesus did, even when they were murmuring. I'm going to get longer.
Amen.
I got the excuses now. I got the excuses.
Amen.
I got the justification, right, Miss Jill? I can get longer now because Jesus did.
Amen.
But I just so happened today I'm done, okay? How about you, though? By the way, you shouldn't tire of hearing the words of life.
Yeah.
Let me just throw that in there. It's not the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
Don't murmur. I'll keep preaching. I'll guarantee you.
Amen.
I ain't playing games. This is church. This ain't your house. This is church.
Amen.
This is the house of God.
Amen.
If you came here to hear something else, you came to the wrong place. Because you're going to hear the words of life here.
Amen.
Glory to God. Praise God. I'm excited about Jesus.
Amen.
Don't turn away. There's nowhere to go.
Amen.
There's certainly nobody else that will give you that life.
That's right.
He is. As I began, He said, I am that bread of life.
Amen.
Father, I pray You bless Your word now. We've heard it, Lord. We've feasted on it. But Lord, some of us are still not going to believe. I pray You to keep working in all of our hearts. Lord, for those that are excited about Jesus, Lord, encourage them this morning. For those that were downhearted, I pray their spirits were lifted. For those that were hurting, I pray they'd understand that these words give life, healing, help, strength, and hope. Help Your people, Lord God, to hunger and thirst for this bread, this life, these words. Oh, Lord, I know it'll get them back where they need to be. I know it'll get them back where they used to be. I know it'll save those that are lost. I know it'll quicken those who are discouraged. Father, do the work during this invitation. Thank You for Jesus. Oh, God, thank You for the precious day. You lifted me up out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay. You set my feet on that solid rock, and You put a new song in my mouth, and You established my goings. Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for that wonderful salvation. Lord, there may be one here this morning. God, would You please bear down on them, God? Don't let them rest. Don't let them keep making excuses about some time that they had an experience. Don't let them keep thinking about the time that they got baptized or went to church and did something weird. God, help them to understand that there's only life in Jesus, none else. Heads are bowed this morning and eyes are closed. I'm asking, please, out of respect for God and for everyone else, no one's looking around. Say, preacher, I've got that life and I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that if I died right now, I know I'd go straight to heaven. I know it without a doubt. Would you raise your hand? All over the house. I know I'm safe. Thank you very much. You can put them down. This morning, maybe you couldn't raise your hand. I don't know. I'm not your judge. I just want to pray for you. Maybe you did raise your hand, but you're just afraid. I just want to pray for you. Oh, listen to me, dearly beloved. God loves you. He gave His life for your soul too. You're part of that world that He died for. It doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what kind of sin you've been involved in. You're part of His heart. His blood was shed for you. And that bread that He wants to give you is offered up to you today. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm tired of fighting this. I'm tired of fighting this. Boy, the Holy Spirit convicted me. And I need that life. I don't have that life. Would you raise your hand this morning? No one's looking around. I just want to pray for you. Is there one like that this morning? Say, preacher, I don't have that life. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm in Christ. I really don't know if I died today, I'd go straight to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would there be one like that this morning? Just lift it up quietly and put it right back down so I can pray. Praise the Lord. There's not one in here that's willing to admit they're lost. That's wonderful. I pray there are none lost here. Amen. But how's your spirit this morning? Does it need some quickening? Mine, I diffuse a quickening ray. I arose, amen. The dungeon was filled with light. My chains fell off. That's salvation. Don't go back in the dungeon, Christian. Quit going back to the chains. Quit going back to the darkness. Walk in light. Walk in truth and victory. Oh, Father, I pray You bless the invitation this morning. Help Your people to get back to where they understand the importance and the value of these words. of the bread of life, the Holy Spirit giving, quickening our spirits. Oh, please, God, help us to die to this old flesh and live for that which is eternal.